Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Within the media that covers the SEC, there has been an absolutely stinging rebuke tossed in the direction of Florida coach Dan Mullen. But my reaction to this is a little different than you might think. We'll get to that coming up in just a couple of minutes. Before any of that off the top of the program, let's talk a little recruiting. Now, Georgia got some good news yesterday with four-star offensive tackle Tate Ratledge. We'll have more on the Ratledge story in a bit. But let's talk about the aftermath of that and what it means for other guys that could join up in the 2020 class of the Dogs. Because as we said as part of our video broadcast yesterday, that offensive linemen have a way of providing their own gravitational pull because, let's face it, skill position players like to be protected. Skill position players like to have holes opened up for them. There is a thought that offensive linemen attract running backs and wide receivers and maybe even quarterbacks. There is a thought that all of these guys want to be a part of a program that have great offensive linemen. It's one of the reasons why Sam Pittman, the Georgia offensive line coach, is so valuable because, in a way, his success in recruiting offensive linemen also brings in other skill position players. The entire offense benefits from that, in other words. Well, an example of that may be on Twitter within the last 24 hours. Five-star linebacker, very recent UGA commit, Mekhi Sherman, was trying to leverage the commitment of Tate Ratledge to go after Kendall Milton. If you're watching on video, I'll show this to you briefly. Here is the message from Sherman. He says, "Let's keep it rolling. Welcome to the family." Mentioned that to a Kendall Milton. "We're building a wall for you." And obviously, Ratledge certainly has the look of being as big as a wall and a part of that sort of next generation of great wall of Georgia offensive linemen. Georgia could lose a few from its starting group this year. Andrew Thomas could be gone. Isaiah Wilson could be gone. Both your guards could move on. Solomon Kinley and Ben Cleveland, they could both give the NFL a shot. There may need to be a new generation of great wall of UGA offensive linemen. Tate Ratledge may indeed be that. And as we sort of wondered yesterday as a part of our program, could Kendall Milton be peering in and paying close attention to that? Well, listen, Mekhi Sherman, make sure he notices. He says, "Hey, did you see what Tate Ratledge just did? Don't you want to run behind this?" And then Sherman was not done. After reaching out to Kendall Milton on that, he also had a message for another very good-looking running back, Marshawn Lloyd. In fact, we'll show this one to you as well. He says, "Marshawn Lloyd, you too, come be great." Now, somebody whispered into my ear that maybe the first time around, Sherman had simply forgotten to include Marshawn Lloyd on that message, and as kind of a clerical error, decided to go back and add him in later on. One way or another, it's nice to see Sherman reaching out to these running backs. It's nice to see him making that push there. The comparison I've made now a couple of times that I think is semi-appropriate is the fact that Sherman seems to right now be occupying a similar role for this 2020 class that Richard LeCount occupied back in 2017. LeCount was kind of first through the door, I believe the first commitment of the Kirby Smart era at UGA. So he was kind of the guy that got in on the ground floor of the 2017 class, magnetic personality, guys wanted to play with him, therefore they signed up to be a part of that class to do just that. Sherman kind of the same way, and this is not an easy thing to do in 2020, given the fact that Milton's a California guy, Lloyd's a Beltway area guy, Keely Ringo, the defensive backs from Arizona. You got guys kind of spread out all over the country, and yet, because they travel together and take trips together, they've all been at G-Day, for instance, at least most of these guys have been at G-Day together, all of a sudden they seem to be able to form a bond there, and it does seem like, to a degree, Sherman's kind of in the middle of this. Now, let me also say one more thing before I change the subject. Oftentimes, we are forced to provide the caveat anytime we mention social media and recruits that a lot of times this Twitter stuff can be misleading. A lot of times this Twitter stuff can be an outright false positive, that saying one thing and doing something completely different, kind of the way that it goes. But with Mekhi Sherman, that does not seem to be the case. Remember, Sherman and or Rakeem Jarrett the other day were talking on Twitter about how they were going to be playing in the same conference in different divisions. Well, guess what? That's exactly what happened. Sherman's committed to Georgia. Rakeem Jarrett's committed to LSU. It's almost like it's weird in this day and age for someone to tweet exactly what they mean. But in the case of Sherman, thus far, the things he said on social media have actually kind of borne out with at least some semblance of reality. So when Sherman's reaching out to a Kendall Milton and a Marshawn Lloyd, keep that in mind. This is not a guy that's exactly been full of hot air on Twitter. The stuff that he said in the past kind of has a way of coming true, and obviously a lot of Georgia fans hope when it comes to these elite running backs, that's something else that could come true as well. Now, let me stay on the subject of recruiting, but kind of shift gears just slightly. Let me go back to the weekend where Jeff Sintel was in Jacksonville, Florida, having a chance, or the Jacksonville area anyway, having a chance to talk to Carson Beck, the four-star UGA committed quarterback, a very interesting young man, I believe. And in the midst of what kind of a wide-ranging conversation, you can see some of this on video. I know Jeff's going to write about a lot of this at DogNation.com as well. There was one thing in particular that stood out to me that Beck had to say, and I think it's relevant for something else that happened with UGA recruiting yesterday. Following all this, let me let you hear Carson Beck, and then we'll move on, and I'll explain what it all means. Here's Beck.
I feel like at the quarterback position, I mean, every quarterback needs leadership, but I feel like my whole entire life that I've been taught to be a leader, but not only a leader, but a servant leader. I feel like if I can bring that to Georgia, then I can bring him to the next level.
I love the concept of a servant leader there, putting others before yourself. And the another portion of that conversation, Beck explained that when he means leadership, he means making those around him better. And that's a great definition of leadership. But also there's an element of leadership that's also about kind of poking and prodding and pushing people to where they need to go, or in some cases where you want them to go. And apparently that role that Carson Beck wants to play as the leader, much the same way that Mekhi Sherman may be that for the defense for Georgia's 2020 class, Carson Beck trying to occupy that role as a quarterback should for the offense as a part of that class. And so far it would seem that Beck is putting his money where his mouth is. Beck says he wants to be a leader, wants to be seen as that way, as the quarterback of the future for UGA. And apparently he's already leading when it comes to Tate Ratledge, because Ratledge, who committed to Georgia yesterday in a ceremony that you saw here on these Dog Nation video channels, absolutely told our Jeff Sintel that, yeah, Carson Beck has been all in my ear as of late. Here's what Ratledge said about that yesterday.
He texted me a good bit and it's like, hey, I need you to protect me. I need protection. I was like, of course, every quarterback needs protection, so I feel like I'll be protecting a good one.
So Carson Beck says he wants to be a leader, validated by the words of Tate Ratledge that he already is a leader. Ratledge made a big choice yesterday, choosing Georgia over the Vols. It sounds like Carson Beck was with him every step of the way. Georgia fans will like that. A couple more things I think you're going to like about Tate Ratledge, and you can go to the Dog Nation YouTube page. And if you're not, even if you're a regular podcast listener, my advice to you would be to subscribe to the Dog Nation YouTube page, because there's some really good content beyond just Dog Nation Daily on there. We did a long video show yesterday, but there's also kind of a shorter edited version of Jeff's interview with Tate Ratledge. Some really good stuff from that interview. In fact, Ratledge spent a couple of seconds, you know, he's kind of a man of few words, so this is not exactly the Gettysburg Address, but nonetheless, Ratledge spent a couple of seconds kind of talking about who he is as a player and what UGA fans can expect from him in that regard. You'll like this from Tate Ratledge. Take a listen.
They'll be getting a very physical, hardworking player. I'm going to work my hardest to get to where I want to be, so that's kind of where I am.
Ratledge is seemingly a smart kid, goes to kind of a fancy private school. He says, I'm physical, I'm hardworking. Smart, hardworking, physical. You couldn't ask for much more than that from an offensive lineman. From that perspective, it sounds like Georgia got itself a good one. Y'all also know from time to time I get into the symbolism of recruiting. I like to see Georgia take players from other programs. Obviously, two hats on the table, Georgia and Tennessee. Seeing the Dogs win that battle, I will admit, it's pretty fun for me to think about the fact that Georgia also not only converted a player, but also converted some fans as well. It's kind of cool. Obviously, there in that Rome area, you're just about as close to Knoxville as you are to Athens. So there are a lot of Tennessee fans that live in the north part of the state, many of you in that kind of Dalton area, other part of the state over in Rome. Y'all kind of know that. They're Vols fans up there. The Ratledge family was one of those, somewhat famously now. That kind of Tennessee gear that the Ratledge family has, apparently that's going to get a new home and the Georgia stuff's going to take over. Here is Tate Ratledge talking to Jeff Sintel about that very fact yesterday.
I talked to your father, Dean, and he already said that the big power T is coming off the truck today.
He got him one, a G. He's already got him a G. He's got him a Georgia license plate, too, with a G on it.
Great video there, and I have to admit, this is probably an inappropriate analogy, so I apologize in advance for making it. But seeing all this Tennessee gear coming off this truck is a little bit like seeing that Saddam Hussein statue getting toppled in Iraq all those years ago. I like kind of the slow motion removal of all that. There's a symbolic value in that that I really like, and I thought that was kind of fun to see. One more from Ratledge, and this is kind of back on a more, I guess, semi-serious topic, because as much as I like covering and consuming recruiting content from the perspective of seeing Georgia get the best players it can possibly get, I think there's also something important to be said for how this process works. And as much as cool, fancy edits on social media or clever hashtags or you know, nicknames, defensive back university, running back university, all that kind of stuff. As much as we throw that kind of stuff around, ultimately there is one thing in recruiting that matters more than anything else. Some coaches can cultivate this, some coaches cannot. And I thought from a serious standpoint, Tate Ratledge did a pretty good job yesterday of also just kind of laying out what the business of recruiting at the major college level is all about. Here's Ratledge explaining why he chose Georgia over Tennessee.
Just really building relationships. Relationships make it all, because I couldn't go somewhere that I don't have to get greater relationships. Not saying I didn't at Tennessee, but overall, I just feel like I had better relationships at Georgia.
So listen, I think that's an absolute fact. I think it's a testament to Sam Pittman that he can create these authentic relationships that lead to signatures on signing day. But folks, don't let anybody, you know, convince you otherwise in this. Don't ever get it twisted. It's the ability to kind of form those authentic bonds, real, genuine connections with people. That's what wins in recruiting. That's what helped Georgia win with Tate Ratledge. So quick kind of wrap up on all of this. I think we're getting ready for a fun summer. One way or another, Mecole Sherman's going to continue to be in the ear of every major player that Georgia fans want. Carson Beck seems to be doing that for the offensive side of the ball. Tate Ratledge now in the fold as well. And boy, if you put your ear to the ground, it certainly sounds like there could be a few more on the way pretty soon as well. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Good to have you with us live on video today, 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Radio Noon, Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and as I said, in a podcast form, pretty much wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. Now, when you go to DogNation.com, there's something else I also want you to pay close attention to. We are getting so excited about Dog Nation Days of Summer. I've had people reaching out to me on social media about this. You're reaching out to just kind of Dog Nation in general, letting us know that the two big events we have planned, many of you planning to be a part of both of them. Some of you live close to one, you live close to the other. It's just going to be an incredible time. Let me tell you about both of these real quick. Thursday, June 13th, it gets kicked off at Callaway Resort and Gardens. Now, I think we're going to kind of do a thing where we kind of extend our stay on that a bit. Obviously, the big event's Thursday night. We're going to do that at 6 p.m. VIP event starts at 5. I think I'm going to try to see if I can get the permission to kind of keep this thing going, maybe stay Friday night maybe as well, and just kind of enjoy the entire deal here. I think that's going to be just a ton of fun at Callaway Resort and Gardens. By the way, if you go to DogNation.com right now, not only can you book your trip to be a part of, hopefully, if we still have some spots left, our VIP event that night, it starts at 5. But when you go to DogNation.com, you can also register for your chance to win a VIP stay giveaway courtesy of Callaway Resort and Gardens. Now, don't wait to book, because if you do, you may miss out on the VIP opportunity. If you have already booked and you win, we'll just comp your trip or whatever. But go to DogNation.com to find out more about that. And as we said, coming up on Thursday, August 1st at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa, another great local Georgia resort, a nice getaway from the Atlanta area. These places and these events are going to be so much fun. We'll have more details about the actual event later on, but just know we like having fun in the summertime here around Dog Nation and Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa in August, and coming up June 13th at Callaway Resort and Gardens. That's going to be a great chance to do that. All right, I'm going to get Jeff Sintel in a moment. But before we do that, Paul Feinbaum, who you know, was on sports radio station WJOX in Birmingham this week. And Feinbaum was asked about what happens for Florida after everything that Dan Mullen said, now that Chris Steele has departed from the program. We've talked about that, the top 2019 signee. He puts his name in the transfer portal. And Feinbaum goes in on Dan Mullen. You might think I would love every second of this, but there's one aspect of this that I probably don't like as much as you might think. Let me let you hear Feinbaum rip on Dan Mullen for losing Chris Steele and the PR hit that comes because of that, and then we'll react to it. Here's Feinbaum on WJOX.
Devastating, primarily because of Dan Mullen's mouth. He's been running it for months. Well, frankly, he's been running it ever since he was born. And I heard it. Listen, I was in his office 3.5 weeks ago. I heard him running his mouth about Georgia, and it caught up to him. And now all those people who've been sitting around going, I wonder why he's doing that, are turning on him. Is it a cataclysmic event? No. Losing recruits happen all the time. Players get in trouble all the time. But I think it's a little bit of karma flying back at him. And I thought Kirby Smart won the day and maybe won the war by just like shooing Dan Mullen away the other day, like a like a fly on your sandwich at a 4th of July picnic. I mean, like, we talk with our helmets is what he said. And I thought that was the appropriate answer.
Certainly what Kirby Smart said on Feinbaum's radio show was the appropriate answer. We talk with our helmets is what Georgia fans want to see their program do, and they like the idea that Kirby takes the high road in comparison to sort of the low-rent, welterweight behavior of a coach like Mullen. But where I think that Feinbaum kind of sidesteps into some tricky, murky territory is when he says that Kirby Smart, quote-unquote, won the war versus Dan Mullen. Here's my problem with that. The whole point of why Kirby behaves the way that he does and Dan Mullen incorrectly behaves the way that he does is the mistaken perception that you can win anything during the offseason. You can't do anything during the offseason to set yourself up, I believe, for success in the upcoming season. The things that you say don't matter. The things that you do, for the most part, don't matter. You may have heard the phrase, and not to get too philosophical on you, the idea that the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago and the second best time is today. Well, listen, what Georgia's going to have happen for it in 2019 are the results of planting and harvesting and growing that's been taking place for years. That's why Georgia's roster is set up so much better than what Florida's is. But Florida has a tendency to believe that all this can be kind of a short-term trajectory and, you know, a decent season in 2018, a little bit of noise, and the offseason in between can set you up for 2019. That's a mistake that Florida makes. You can't win this war with Dan Mullen during the offseason. I think that Paul Feinbaum's wrong about that. I think what Kirby Smart's winning for right now is what's going to happen in future years, 2020, 2021, and beyond. That's the work that Smart's doing. He's planting trees for the next 20 years. He's scheduling games that are going to be played in the 2030s, in the late 2020s. He's thinking about 10 years from now. Dan Mullen's running his mouth and obsessed with next year, but that's what losers do. Kirby Smart's not even a part of that game. He's not trying to win the current war with Florida or Dan Mullen. I'm pretty sure that Kirby believes the foundation that's been laid over the last few years are what sets him up to succeed this season, regardless of what anybody says during the offseason. So a slightly different perspective on what has been kind of a popular topic. Nonetheless, we'll kind of get in later on some of the issues that Florida continues to deal with and the aftermath of what has been a terrible week for them. I obviously enjoy that as a Gator hater. But that's all for later on. For now, here on Dog Nation Daily, it's great to have you with us. Tuesdays mean our insider update, courtesy of Marlowe's Tavern from Jeff Sintel. Let's do that right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Had a chance to talk briefly to Jeff Sintel yesterday. We'll get a chance to be a little bit more wide-ranging here for a moment. It is our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update with Jeff Sintel. Of course, you know, each week here on Dog Nation Daily and every single day at the worldfamousdognation.com, Jeff Sintel gives us his twist on UJ recruiting, the latest news there. But when you want chef-inspired food with a twist, you want Marlowe's Tavern. So check out the tavern there in your neighborhood. It's a great time to go there, especially with 70-degree temperatures. This is perfect patio weather, and there are no better patios than the ones that you find there at the tavern right there in your neighborhood. So enjoy a craft cocktail, some chef-inspired food, and, well, just celebrate the spring in style there at your local Marlowe's Tavern. Jeff Sintel, hello to you. Thanks for being with us. Great job yesterday in Rome with Tate Ratledge. And I guess let me kind of start on this. We did talk a bit about Ratledge yesterday. I think for a fan's perspective, one of the great things about Ratledge is the impact that offensive linemen like that could have on other positions. And we already see an example of, you know, Mekhi Sherman wanting to make sure that Kendall Milton saw this and Marshawn Lloyd saw this. You had a chance to talk to Carson Beck about all this. But it is true, right, that these offensive linemen, and Sam Pittman's brought in a lot recently, they do have reverberations at other positions, do they not?
Well, of course. I mean, good morning, everybody. What it does is it protects the leader of the offense first and foremost, which would be future Georgia Carson Beck. And when you get in elite level discussions of football with a quarterback quite like Carson, who can really carve up a defense and has the ability to touch every spot on the field, I think the only way you defend guys like that is you affect him. You affect his launch point. You affect his pocket, you get in his face and you make him throw and run. And I think the only antidote for that for Georgia to make sure pressure doesn't affect his future quarterback is to make sure they build something like a great wall of Georgia around him. And I think Tate Ratledge is an incredible piece for Georgia on that front.
Yeah, and speaking of that Great Wall notion for a moment, one of the things, and I can't remember if you and I talked about this or not, I know I talked to Chip about this, one of the things I've been kind of fascinated with lately is something that one of our commenters brought up the other day about the fact that we're about to see that Generation 2.0 version of the Sam Pittman offensive line. One way or another, you're going to have some guys that have been starters in the kind of the early days of the Sam Pittman era at Georgia. They're about to be gone. It could be, in kind of a worst-case scenario, as many of four Georgia's current starting offensive linemen not on this team in 2020, which means the Tate Ratledges and the Broderick Jones and some of the guys that have been on the roster like Trey Hill and Jamari Salyer and others, but they kind of become that sort of next generation after one entire group of offensive linemen have cycled their way through the program, and Tate Ratledge becomes a part of that too, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy. I think the one thing that might slow his development just a little bit is he's a classic right tackle, and I think that's his best fit. But coming out of the Darlington School, which is a rigorous school, he won't be able to enroll early and get that leg up. So you may see, between him and Broderick Jones, you may see a little bit of what happened there with a guy like Trey Hill and Jamari Salyer. You may see a little bit of the guy that gets in early just seems a little bit more prepared, a little bit more seasoned, a little bit more early game ready than the other guy. Just between elite talents like that, it's really hard to make up. So I think Ratledge will have a bright future at Georgia. I think he will definitely play winning football for the program. But, you know, early, come in, start, take a job right away, I think that's going to be much harder for Tate because he won't be able to enroll early. Like the young man, I don't think we talk enough about on this show, Brandon, and that would be Broderick Jones. I think, yeah, Broderick Jones, if we ever did a top 10 list of period, bar none, committed, uncommitted, what the top 10 targets look like for Georgia, I still think there's probably no way that Broderick Jones is anywhere outside the top three. Even when everything is all said and done, you can throw your running backs in there, you can throw your quarterback in there. I don't think folks realize Broderick Jones, even though now Mikhail Sherman's decision moves him down to the second highest-rated Georgia commitment on the board. I think Broderick is the type of guy, and I'll keep saying this, that can do some similar plug-and-play, play-well-early type things that Andrew Thomas did during that special 2017 season.
I'm going to ask you a question that I've asked you before, but I just want to make sure that we cover all our bases on this. Haven't heard a ton from Jones, at least seemingly in a while. He was not at G-Day. Is there any reason to be in any way concerned, suspicious, that the bond between Jones and Georgia is any less strong than it should be, given the fact that, you know, we see a lot of these other guys kind of, you know, on campus a lot, but we didn't see Broderick Jones for G-Day. Any concern about that at all?
Well, this is a young man that doesn't take the visits, doesn't go everywhere in the world that other guys do. I've been told he doesn't even like going to Athens and watching, because that's sort of like him not getting to open up his Christmas presents, I think is what I've described it with you in the past, until December the 25th. I do know that weeks and weeks ago, he was already looking for a list of names to help recruit for Georgia as well, to try and just share his insight on why he's going to go to Georgia. I don't think, Brandon, a lot of schools are really trying to blow down that door to get to him. Auburn was a school that was in there for a little bit. South Carolina is a school that kind of keeps knocking for a little bit, but I do think he wants to play close to home, and I do think he loves the fit there with Sam Pittman and everything that's being built in Athens for the University of Georgia.
So let me change the subject here for a moment. You spent a good bit of time with Carson Beck over the weekend, the quarterback commit, really impressive prospect. What did you learn having spent that time with him? And I guess, would you mind talking to us a little bit about Beck as a player, and specifically, you know, I think the language that sports fans use, Jeff, is the language of comparisons. What previous quarterback prospects would you say Beck reminds you of and maybe compares favorably with?
Wow, I got a good one. I got a juicy one, and it's probably not even my own, but that might be one, Brandon, I want to save for one of our first Dog Nation stories, because we're going to roll a lot of Carson Beck stuff out over the next few days. But they will know those names. You know what the main thing, Brandon, when I went down there and wanted to spend some time with Carson was, is I wanted to see, and I guess what's the best way to put this for your family show and your family listeners and your, you know, really salt-of-the-earth people that tune in every day. I just wanted to see if he was a regular guy. He wasn't a diva. He wasn't a guy that maybe needs to be, has the personality and the look maybe to fit in an Abercrombie and Fitch catalog or something like that. I wanted to see if he was just a regular fella. And coming away from hanging with Carson and everything else, Carson Beck is very much a regular Joe. He's very much a kid that's just a dude, which means a guy you can hang out with, a guy that can be chill, that's not elite quarterback prospect with the thunderbolt for an arm 24/7. And it's very interesting. I don't think even a lot of folks in my industry even know, well, first of all, the entire Carson Beck narrative, and not just the Alabama stuff, and not just the Florida stuff, but what he did there with Mandarin High School football. Everybody wonders about how in the world Milton High School won the Georgia largest classification championship last year. Well, Carson Beck and his Mandarin Mustangs were a lot like that last year in Florida in 8A. Of course, that championship usually goes to a school down in Miami or Broward County or somewhere in South Florida. And tiny little Mandarin, which is, and Carson Beck only had two D1 receivers, I'm told, on that roster last year. And these are low D1s, Brandon, like Florida Atlantic and Liberty University. And somehow they were 7-4 at the end of the regular season and went all the way to win all of their games. They win it all. I think actually they were 6-4 last year at the end of the regular season after 10 games. And they went all the way and they won it all. And they did it with Carson Beck just doing jaw-dropping things like throwing for 480 yards in a first half. And they did it not with all this dink and dunk, quick screen game either, Brandon. Mandarin and Beck were putting up 480-yard first halves when he was only throwing the ball like 30, 35 times a game. And he was a very rare junior to win the Mr. Football Award for the state of Florida. And there's a lot of stuff to get to here with Carson Beck. There's a lot of great stuff to get to here with Carson Beck. And that's just a little bitty sliver of an appetizer of it for you there, sir.
Yeah, listen, I think that's an exciting thing to think about. I'm looking forward to reading a lot more about that coming up at DogNation.com. And the more I learn about this young man, a lot of this is coming from your reporting, the more I really like what he brings to the table. I think he's a very interesting quarterback prospect. Let me go back to the other side of the ball for a moment and something I started our show with today here as part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update with Jeff Sintel on Dog Nation Daily. The fact that Mekhi'l Sherman continues to be very outspoken in pushing for the Kendall Miltons and the Marshawn Lloyds. And, Jeff, the specific point I made a little earlier is most of the time my advice when it comes to recruits and social media is to take it all with a grain of salt. And yet, for the most part, the things that Sherman have tweeted have come true. Remember the Rakeem Jarrett exchange not too long ago when they said they're going to be playing in the same conference but different divisions? We're conditioned to think a lot of that kind of stuff is maybe, you know, subliminal trolling or just kind of, you know, having fun at the expense of fans who want to hear and hang on every single word. But that turned out to be exactly what happened. Sherman, in other words, is a pretty straightforward guy on social media. So when he's reaching out to Milton and Lloyd and a lot of these other guys that he's speaking with on a regular basis, I kind of take that pretty seriously. It seems like Sherman wants to occupy a pretty prominent role in pushing other guys to join him as part of this 2020 class, does he not?
Yeah, Brandon, natural leader. I remember Rick Gilbert telling me basically that's a guy that believes in what he says and says a lot of passionate things. That's what he, when he had the chance to talk to him. And, you know, Mekhi'l Sherman and Eric Gilbert had one of those classified conversations for sure when they were chatting about things at G-Day. And, you know, with Sherman, Brandon, he's just a guy that I think folks notice that he just is very impressive with every interaction you have with him. And he clearly wants to play on a team full of dogs, and he wants the best dogs, maybe even the ones that are not going to LSU and Clemson. He wants those dogs to be on his side, and he doesn't mind stepping out on social media and finding a way to do that.
Yeah, that's certainly an exciting thing to think about. I mean, and is it too much to kind of make the comparison as I have with what Richard LeCount was like for Georgia in his 2017 class? I mean, in some ways, Sherman feels like that version of that for 2020.
Different, Brandon. Richard would walk into a room, and these guys would always go to the same camps, and these guys would bump into each other at Under Armour's and Nike's and Rivals camps and things like that. And they'd all know Richard because they played the Rising Seniors games, and they'd been to Georgia camps before and Alabama camps before. And Richard would walk into a room and immediately kind of command that E.F. Hutton respect, like he was the Steve Rogers of the room, let's say. And then you've got a guy like Mikhail. Well, this year's Georgia, Mikhail, where this Georgia class is just going to be so much different. I think the rooms he step into might be text message rooms or chat rooms that are built with guys all across the nation. And it's funny, you have a guy like Sherman, and it's more not a localized story. It's not a hyper-local recruiting story. It's a nationalized story. And what I mean by that is MJ Sherman. MJ is what a lot of folks like to call him, and sometimes Mr. Sherman would prefer guys would call him MJ so they don't just mess up the pronunciation of his first name, Mikhail. But with him, he knows some of these guys from their elite camps, these openings, these things they've been to. It's no secret, Brandon, that all the top 2020 targets have been in chat rooms together for at least 2 or 3 years, just comparing notes with what one says to one another and what other school is doing, one school is doing to love up one school, love up one prospect compared to another. And I think what he's going to have to do is he's going to have to take a more national approach. He's going to have to do a lot of this through social media to try and work his way into the class, work others into the class. And I think it's a different kind of Pied Piper, a different type of spokesman for the class. But the one thing you see with a guy like Sherman is he does have a lot of respect across the nation, and he doesn't mind touting about Georgia and telling everybody what he sees out of everybody in Athens. And I'd look for him to make a lot of multiple trips to Athens over the summer as well.
Can we do one thing, Jeff, before we get ready to let you go here today? And I know we've kind of spent some time on what has just happened for UGA recruiting, getting Tate Ratledge, Mikhail Sherman at the end of last week. Let me look ahead briefly for a moment. I do realize that you've been covering this in the forum at forum.dognation.com, and I would invite everybody to check out the Dog Nation forum to kind of see some of the late-breaking stuff about this. But we are heading towards what can only be described as a major recruiting weekend for Georgia. You got Justin Rogers' official visit on the way. You got a whole host of other folks, I guess, are either rumored to be or expected to be in town for what I guess is Scavenger Hunt 2.0 after the successful event last spring. Can you kind of, and we'll talk more about this on Friday, of course, but can you kind of set the stage for what the next few days for Georgia recruiting are going to kind of be like?
Well, first of all, I mean, there's a lot of information you hear about guys that could be close and might be close and could be, you know, maybe commitment watch in the next month or so. So that's something to always keep everyone advised of. But, you know, there's one thing, you know, you want to talk about the scavenger hunt, and I know that will be popular. I want to point folks to, if they ever want to get down and dirty in the forum, the next to commit to the G thread for 2020 kind of went really supernova last night a little bit. There was someone that dropped in there with some information regarding five-star defensive lineman Jordan Birch. This was someone that's coming from a Clemson perspective, thinking that Clemson folk are feeling that they're out of it with Jordan Birch, and it really comes down to South Carolina and Georgia. And another little tasty little nugget there that's maybe just as tasty as those shrimp and crab nachos at Marlowe's is that gentleman felt, or that poster felt, at this time, that if the cycle was to close right now, Jordan Birch would likely choose Georgia. And to even make Brandon want to stand up and pound the microphone and kick that birdhouse out the plexiglass window of Dog Nation World Headquarters, he's a guy that was a G-Day. He's a guy that's expected to come back and be there for this scavenger hunt as well. And Brandon, I know your five-star numbers, and I know you like those guys, and I know you like defensive linemen, and I know you like plucking somebody out of state and pulling him away from another SEC rival. My friend, Jordan Birch is a name to know, and it's a name that currently checks every possible box on the Brandon Adams is all in wish list for 2020.
That is some inside information from the Dog Nation Forum, forum.dognation.com. Make sure you check that out. And speaking of inside information, if you want to be an insider at your local Marlowe's, the one right there in your neighborhood, simply text the word Marlowe's, M-A-R-L-O-W-S. That's M-A-R-L-O-W-S to 24242. You can know just as much about the tavern in your neighborhood as Jeff Sintel and all those posters on the Dog Nation Forum know about UGA recruiting. So check that out. Text the word Marlowe's, M-A-R-L-O-W-S. 24242, that's the number. You can find out about all the don't get recruiting information from Marlowe's. You get information about special offers and big events and chef-inspired food. When you want recruiting information, you want Jeff Sintel, who's good enough to be here with us right now. Let me make sure I keep those two things straight. Jeff, incredible, incredible conversation. Thank you so much for being a part of that with us here today. We'll look forward to reading a bunch from you. It sounds like you got some great stuff coming up at DogNation.com over the next couple of days, and we'll look forward to reading that and hopefully catch up with you back here on Dog Nation Daily again very soon as well.
All right, folks, think about that forum if you haven't been already. You can see that post. It currently has 53 upvotes from the Dog Nation forum faithful, and you can be an insider on the Dog Nation forum as well.
Great stuff, Jeff Sintel. Thanks for your time.
Yes, sir.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, two things. One more impressive than the other. Did you notice at the end of that conversation, Jeff tried to give us a little bit of a Sam Pittman, yes, sir, on the way out the door. I don't think he quite had the oomph behind it that Coach Pittman does, but Jeff tried to give us his version of that. But how about massive, massive intel on Jordan Burch? Very interesting. Now, I will say, honesty compels me to admit, that when it comes to defensive linemen, that is one of the positions right now that South Carolina has done pretty well with. It was Zach Pickens for the 2019 class. It was Rick Sandage for the 2018 class. So Muschamp has kind of gotten his man when it comes to defensive linemen a bit as of late, especially when they've got that kind of local tie. But somebody seems to think they know something on that, so pay close attention on that. Pretty good little nugget to drop in from Jeff Sintel, and I will tell you, totally unexpected. As we transition our SEC through, let me also talk to you for a second about my friends at Meriwether and Tharp. Listen, divorce is a tough thing to go through, and when you go through it, you want to make sure that you're getting the best information. Well, the great thing about Meriwether and Tharp is you don't even have to be a client to get some help from Meriwether and Tharp. They've got a lot of resources for you. Free web pages, podcasts, divorce guides. It's everything that you need to better understand the divorce process. And it's an incredibly generous act to provide a lot of this stuff free of charge the way they do. I think that's incredible. But if it's time to get a deeper, more serious conversation and really know what's best for you and your specific circumstances, then the website to go to is theatlantadivorceteam.com. It's theatlantadivorceteam.com. Check out Meriwether and Tharp if you are in need of those services. All right, SEC through time, and let me give a little bit of a caveat to this. Chris Lowe is a writer for ESPN that I really like. Of all the writers that write for the major national websites, Lowe is probably my favorite because he's probably the least liked the other national writers for reasons you could probably figure out if you think about it long and hard enough. Lowe just comes across as a pretty good dude. However, I don't like this tweet from Lowe because it fits into a narrative that I think that has been out there when it comes to Nick Saban and ESPN for a while. Remember, I've called Stephen A. Saban. I've used that phrase before to describe Nick Saban. He's a guy that's on ESPN so much, you almost think he's Stephen A. Smith. There's been a very cozy relationship here, and I think that that's something that Saban has leveraged for his benefit. I think this latest tweet from Lowe is an example of that because when an ESPN guy says this, there's just a little bit of gravitas behind it, and I think you got to be really careful with this kind of thing. So here's what Lowe tweets. He says, "I'm sure this is hard for everybody to believe, but Nick Saban told me today he was chipping and putting," those are golf shots, 3 days after surgery and is already taking some three-quarter swings on the range. Here's the quote from Saban, according to Lowe on Twitter. "Still way too much sitting around." And here's kind of the money line. This is what Saban, I believe, wants out there, and ESPN, once again, more than willing to provide this. He says, "Still way too much sitting around. If this is what retirement's like, it's not for me." Listen, you know, I'm not telling you that, you know, hip surgery is going to be the kind of thing that gets investigated like some sort of major political scandal. That's not my point at all. But how about a degree of skepticism here? How about at least a little consideration for the fact that hip surgeries take a little while to recover from, and this myth-making with the fact that, oh, he's already playing golf the next day. Y'all, that's a little overdone for me, and to me, another example of what I believe has been a very cozy relationship with ESPN and Nick Saban, something that Saban, maybe to his credit if you're an Alabama fan, you'd say, has leveraged to his benefit. I don't dislike Chris Lowe, but I do dislike Lowe's role in this particular narrative, one in which I think has a degree of phoniness to it, and certainly, let's just say that the ESPN relationship, because of the access they've gotten to Saban, the Alabama program, and the kind of cozy coverage that Nick Saban gets, this Alabama-ESPN relationship to me comes across as very, quite mutually beneficial. All right, let me talk about something different for a moment. A little earlier, I played a clip on Paul Feinbaum on WJOX Sports Radio Station in Alabama talking about Kirby Smart. There was something else that Feinbaum said in that interview that I actually found to be really interesting. I mentioned Will Muschamp a moment ago from South Carolina. I have wondered aloud, just given the fact that some of what I thought at one point in time looked like some recruiting momentum for South Carolina, that's kind of slowed down. And around them, Tennessee's recruiting better in the Atlanta area where South Carolina also wants to be. Clemson's not slowing down at all. Georgia's not slowing down at all. I think last year, if you're looking at most disappointing SEC teams, I think relative to expectations, I think South Carolina may have been the most disappointing team in the entire SEC. And it led me to wonder, well, what does that mean for South Carolina fans? Are they getting restless with Will Muschamp? I'm not looking to fire a guy. I'm not, especially a Georgia grad like Muschamp, I'm not necessarily trying to fan the flames of that. Not even that I would have the ability to sway Gamecocks fans on that one way or another. I was just curious about what the feeling around Muschamp was. Well, Feinbaum talked about that on WJOX and brought up a really interesting point. And this apparently comes from firsthand conversations that Feinbaum has had with South Carolina Athletic Director Ray Tanner and others, essentially saying that there's a belief in South Carolina right now, either this is like the company line or they truly believe this, we don't really know, but it's interesting, that Steve Spurrier left that program in such dire straits when he walked out and quit on the program in 2015, that essentially that's still giving Muschamp some cover. That right now Spurrier is being used as the scapegoat for everything wrong with South Carolina. And the other day, Spurrier even kind of admitted that he, you know, didn't handle that in the most forthright way he possibly could. So keep this in mind right now for a South Carolina program that I think even with meager expectations has been of a disappointment. Right now it's still Steve Spurrier who's taking the blame for that within Columbia more so than Will Muschamp. I thought that was kind of interesting. Let me do a couple other stories here real quick. I thought Sports Illustrated had a good piece about teams that could regress this year. In other words, teams that had good records in 2018 that might not be quite as good in 2019. Maybe the most interesting name on there, although there was at least one other Georgia opponent on there. We may talk about that more later on in the week. But Kentucky shows up on this list. And the basic argument for why Kentucky won't be as good this year as it was a year ago is about the returning production that it lost from last year. Doesn't bring back nearly as much of its statistical performance on offense nor defense. Obviously, Benny Snell's the huge loss there. So we talked the other day about whether or not Mark Stoops should be considered a, quote, proven winner. I think this year may even cast more doubt on that. It sounds like Kentucky, who was legitimately pretty good last year, may not be quite so good this year. And then a couple transfer stories to tell you. Looks like reports are out there that Sawyer Smith, who was a quarterback most recently at Troy, he is coming into the Kentucky program. Remember, Gunnar Hope just left that program to go to Ohio State. So they're bringing a transfer quarterback apparently in to replace him. And Davin Cotton, who has been kind of in and out of the transfer portal for a while, a defensive lineman at LSU, he is now leaving for sure. He's actually going to Southern. So he's going to stay in Louisiana but go to a different program other than LSU. We'll make that your SEC through. Before I do our summer Q&A for today, let me also mention one more thing. I spent a good bit of time near the top of the program today talking about Florida and some of the stuff that's been going on there and why it's been such a bad PR run for Dan Mullen as of late. Obviously, those of us who are Gator haters kind of enjoy that. Did you see one more piece of information on that? I'm going to make this kind of quick. I saw where DeJuan Black, the four-star linebacker signee from Florida's 2019 class. There was a rumor out there that he was also, much like Chris Steele, not going to be a part of this team, and Jalen Jones, the quarterback, who departed a little bit before that, or at least put his name in the transfer portal. Looks like Black is indeed going to a community college, so another member of that 2019 class for Florida, not a part of the situation for Florida on the field in 2019. Not a good look for Dan Mullen. Not a good look at all. Okay, so one of the things around here that we like to do during the summertime is kind of relax and get a little looser and maybe involve comments a little bit more. And sometimes that means within the regular portion of our broadcast, we're on video a little longer than the regular podcast. And a lot of times we'll take some comments there. And sometimes we try to squeeze some of that into our regular conversation as well. And so we do our summer Q&A. And obviously, when we think about summer, we think about our Dog Nation days of summer. And many of you planning on being with us on June 13th at Callaway Resort and Gardens, and August 1st in Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. And we chat about football there. We chat about football with you here as a part of our summer Q&A. So let me throw some questions up here for today. And a lot of this is going to be kind of based on what we've already done on the show. And If you're not watching live on video, we'd still love to have you react to it. Either put your comments in the comment section. We post the show as a podcast at dognation.com or reach out to me on Twitter at dognationdaily. But here is our summer Q&A for today. So Jeff Sintel kind of talked about this. A lot of chatter in the forum about what's going on and who the next UGA commit's going to be. I'd love to have you weigh in on that right here, right now. Who do you think the next UGA commit will be? And then the second question is a little bit similar, but also slightly different. It's who do you wish would be the next UGA commit? Because obviously there are a couple of guys that Georgia fans may be waiting on for a little while, and maybe if you could push the fast forward button and not have to wait quite so long on that commitment, I'm sure there are a few Georgia fans who have something to say about that. So I'd love to have you weigh in on that. And once again, if you're not watching live on video, reach out to me on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily or put your comments in the comment section when we post the show at theworldfamousdognation.com. We'd love to hear from you on that. And then finally, and this is one I hope we can have some fun with, how did you become a UGA fan? Many of you became a UGA fan the sort of traditional classic way. You went to college there and you got your degree from there, and it's been your alma mater and something you've been very proud of ever since. But not all Georgia fan genesis stories, origin stories, start out that way. For example, Tate Ratledge and his family, how they became Georgia fans, a slightly different path being traveled than that. So we'd love to have you weigh in on that as well, either live on video, on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily, or in the comments section when we post the show at theworldfamousdognation.com. Please participate in our summer Q&A. All right, so wrapping things up for today, at least on radio and podcast. First of all, great stuff from Jeff Sintel today. Make sure you check out all his work there at dognation.com. Really fun to think about and kind of fun to kind of bask in the glow of, even if I don't completely agree with all the context of it, kind of fun to hear, you know, Dan Mullen being dragged through the mud again. We don't mind that, even if we think that making too big of a deal about it is also just as much of a problem as, you know, Dan Mullen making too big of a deal but a bunch of nonsense itself. We still kind of like the idea of it. I think ultimately what you don't want is for Florida to be able to have the nobody believes in this card to play. You know, this whole thing of Dan Mullen now rallying his troops saying, well, they think that we're going to be terrible just because Chris Steele's not here anymore. I don't think Georgia fans like the idea of that all that much. What they do like the idea, though, of is the Gatorator Updater. 927 days. That's how long it's been since the lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. We'll see you tomorrow here on Dog Nation Daily.